Oh, well, Celeste, take my hand, won't you?
No.
Well, I'm going to space. You want to come?
No.
All right. Well, you stay where you're at, because I am going right into outer space, right exactly where I want to be. We got to talk about planets, and there's a lot to report today. We get Celeste, the history of astronomy is about shattering beliefs. You know, there's a lot of orthodoxy.
Expanding our minds.
Absolutely. From Magellan, who showed that the Earth was round, Copernicus came and said, you're crazy. The sun doesn't rotate around the Earth. It's the other way around.
Galileo. Yeah.
Sure. And just this week, scientists discovered the largest star ever, believed once to be 320 times the mass of our own sun. They previously didn't even think a star that big was possible. So there's a lot of beliefs in the astronomy world shattered there. But our next guest is hoping to challenge some other long-held beliefs, the astronomical uniqueness of planet Earth. We like to think of ourselves as special, and Dimitar Sasolov is an astronomer who says maybe not so much. He's at Harvard, where he heads a project that searches for other Earth-like planets, and he's a co-author of an article in Scientific American called Planets We Could Call Home. Dr. Sasolov, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
All right. I got to be a little skeptical off the top. Planets we could call home. I think you're overselling it, because there are lots of planets that have been discovered, but none of them seem terribly Earth-like yet, right? Or am I wrong?
That's correct. Most of them are giants like Jupiter and Saturn.
Okay. But some of them, what about ones that are rocky? How many have you discovered that you could stand on if you arrived there?
Up until now, astronomers have discovered maybe just a few.
Just a few rocky ones.
That's correct.
Out of how many total discoveries?
Out of several hundred.
Several hundred. And you say a few, maybe a dozen that are rocky or Earth-like in the sense that they're solid.
That's right. Even fewer than a dozen.
So characterize for me, if you will, the sort of the identity of these Earth-like planets. We'll call them Earth-like because they're made of rock, I guess, but what do they look like? What kind of gravity? What would it be like if you were there?
We call them super-Earths, partly because they're a few times larger than the Earth in how much stuff they have, and maybe about 50% to almost two times larger in size. So they will be the gravity will be higher, but as long as they are rocky and have some water on them, the appearance will be very similar to that of Earth.
Super Earths, because they're big.
Correct, yeah.
Now, one thing that was paradoxical about super Earths, as I understood it, is that even though they're big, they tend to be really close to the stars that they orbit, which you wouldn't expect, because if they're big, they would have to be further away. Is that right?
That was one of the early surprises of this new era for discovering planets around other stars. But it's also understandable, because our techniques are better tuned to discover planets which are closer to their stars. It's only now that we start discovering planets just like the Earth, far away from their stars.
All right, let's take an example of a super Earth. Give me a ballpark of how far away, if we're going to talk about a recent discovery.
Well, a super Earth would be a planet which is about 50% larger in size than the Earth.
But how far from us?
And it will be about 500 to 1,000 light years away from us.
Okay, 1,000 light years away. I want to ask you about how you're detecting these planets, because some of it's amazing. Tell me, what is the wobble? What is this thing?
This is the technique which allowed us 15 years ago to discover the first planet around another star. It uses the light from the star. We don't see the planet at all, but we essentially see the star wobbling slightly back and forth periodically due to the tugging from the planet.
You see it? Why does it? The planet's gravity tugs the light?
Correct, yes, exactly.
And then you can sort of surmise that the planet is there because of the amount of the tug.
That's right.
Well, there's another way you can detect stars called a transit. You know, I've heard this described as staring into a spotlight and a grain of sand is tossed in front of it. How does that work? How do you detect a planet that way?
This is the method that is currently in vogue, the transit method, because it allows us to see very small planets passing in front of their stars. It's like a mini eclipse, and essentially what you see is the light of the star dimming periodically. Every now and then it will go slightly down, by a percent or less, and then that will happen again and again every time the planet passes by.
Okay, but in proportional terms, if this is like staring into one of those gigantic Hollywood spotlights, and then the planet is just a grain of sand by proportion, how can you detect the difference? I mean, that's not a big shadow.
It is a very tiny shadow. But if you put a large digital camera in space, it works.
Ah, because it's sensitive. Well, I think you're talking about Kepler, right?
Yes. So
what is Kepler?
The most recent telescope which uses this transit method is called Kepler, after one of Copernicus's followers, Johannes Kepler. And it's in orbit around the sun. It's in space. It looks like a very large digital camera, and that's what it does.
It measures transits. It's sensitive enough to get this grain of sand passing in front of the spotlight and measure the difference in light.
Yes, so it can discover planets like the Earth, exactly like the Earth, around other stars.
And how many Earth-like planets in the discovery column so far for Kepler?
Well, so far we only have planet candidates, but we have a very good record. The telescope is working perfectly, and our planet candidates are several hundred, which is more than anybody has been able to do so far. So this bodes very well for the rest of the mission, which will last almost 4 years.
So, Dr. Sasolov, it won't be long until Kepler discovers the first truly Earth-like planet. What should we do when we discover it? Are we off to colonize it? What do you think? What's our first move?
Well, off to colonizing it will be a bit difficult at 1,000 light years away. But we have plans for our next moves, which is to find out what these planets are made of, to sniff out what their atmospheres have, maybe oxygen, maybe water, and learn more about where those planets are, which we should look for life.
Are they truly Earth-like? And then thus proving that Earth is not unique. Dimitar Sasolov, an astronomer at Harvard and author of Planets We Could Call Home in Scientific American. Professor, thanks for joining us. It's great.
You're still special, Todd.
Ooh, I think I hear Starman.
There's a star.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.